It's time once again for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have Dr. Tim Riley. He's the director of the USU Eastern Prehistoric Museum. Got a lot going on at the museum. The museum has been around for 60 years, whether we want to believe that or not. We're going to have some celebrations going on throughout the year, a community art exhibit that's coming up, field season, which is one thing these guys love, and you have an opportunity to be a part of that. And then, virtual school tours. We're going to talk about the possible moving of the visitor center. Not necessarily possible. It's happening. We're just, going to talk a little bit about that. Dr. Riley, thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Dave, always a pleasure.
And how are things going at the museum? Everything's going, according to plan and the way things should be?
Yeah, everything's good. We still are. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 through 5. Masks are required under state mandates, and there are some directional arrows, and we have a cap in terms of visitation. But absolutely, we look forward to people coming down and visiting us at the museum. We've got a lot going on, some new exhibits coming in, and some of the exciting events that you mentioned in your opening.
So let's kick it off right at the beginning there. 60 years, the 60th anniversary of the Prehistoric Museum. And you guys have a few things planned this year. Let's talk about some of them.
Sure, yeah. So it's the 60th year, 1961. There were some hints towards the museum before that, but in terms of the actual first monetary aspects, I think it was the Chamber of Commerce. I made a loan of about $2,500 to get Al the Allosaurus, the very first museum mount, and they purchased that. And then in June of 1961 was when we saw the museum opening to the public. And so we're actually looking forward to celebrating the 60th, even under these limited circumstances. Some of the details in terms of what events and when are still a little up in the air as we move forward with our COVID restrictions and those things change as more of us get vaccinated around the community and the country more broadly. But we're planning on doing a couple of cool things. We're going to have some public events, some lectures in the fall, and we'll keep you guys abreast of that as those develop. But we're also going to this summer make our temporary exhibit in the middle a retrospective on the history of the museum. It'll include things like the treasures of the vault, where we have some of the stuff that's in the museum collections that's not currently on display out and around, but it'll also include some video and some documents and photographs from the museum's history, trying to celebrate all those people in this community that made it such a great museum over the last 60 years.
So that'll be coming up this summer and into the fall. And another thing that you've got that's coming kind of to an end is your Charlie Johnston exhibit that's going on in that main exhibitors hall. But you're going to make way for something really exciting, and the community is going to be involved in this one. So let's talk about that and how they can be involved if they would like to.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, Charlie Johnston, a great artist who unfortunately passed away last July. His exhibit was up and before we closed for COVID, and we decided to extend it until March 27th. So you still got about a couple of weeks left to go visit. And it's really incredible, mostly paintings, but also some sepia and other inkscapes, as well as some three-dimensional artwork he's done across a course of his life, focused here in Utah as well as Alaska, but beautiful sort of natural landscapes, and many are available for purchase. There's also a number of affordable prints going down as cheap as about $30 or $35. I think it's the cheapest one of some of his artwork. So if you're looking for a great gift for somebody, stop in to the museum. You can stop in the visitor center and see the prints, or you can go upstairs and see the original artwork up there as well. As you said, that's coming to an end. We're a little sad to take it down, but that's how temporary galleries work. Charlie was always a great friend of the museum, so he'll be missed. But we're excited to bring our annual community art show. It's a little bit later this year. And that was somewhat due to the COVID restrictions. But this art show we do every year, it allows our local talented community to come out and strut their stuff. If you're a photographer, a sculptor, a wood burner, a painter, any sort of visual art, we don't do videos or that type of thing, although maybe we could be talked into that. Is welcome to submit to the museum, and effectively you can submit two pieces of a certain size, or if you have a very big piece of art, we ask that you only submit one to our head of exhibits, Christopher Henderson, and he'll basically get them all staged up and ready to go. We do ask, if it's a two-dimensional piece, that it is ready to hang. So if that means framed and matted with a wire backing, then that's how it should be. And again, we're looking for all levels, student artists, and all the way up to the professional artist community we have in Helper and beyond. As I said, it's not just two-dimensional stuff. If you're a potter, if you're a woodworker, We'd love to see that type of art as well.
Okay, and when do they have to have those into you guys by?
Yeah, so we'd like to see them in by the end of March. Effectively, it'll be about a two-week turnaround from taking the show down on the 27th to the installation into April. So we're looking at having an opening reception probably that second week of April. So there's a little bit of wiggle room there, but we'd really like to have most of the art in and ready so we can lay it out and figure out the spacing of it by the end of this month.
All right. So another thing that you guys love to do down there, and it's getting, you're starting to get the itch, is field season.
Oh, yeah.
And a fun thing for the community is they can be a part of this as a volunteer. So let's talk about some of the volunteer opportunities that they have and how you can go about doing all this.
Yeah, sure. As you said, it's getting to be nice and we're all getting the itch to see the spring flowers and get outside a little bit more, even though this wasn't particularly the snowiest winter. But still, it's nice to see the warm weather. And as you said, we always use volunteers. Museums depend on, and our museum in particular, depends on volunteers. And so you can actually come in and you can volunteer right now in things like the observation lab where the paleontology preparator is using things like an air scribe to remove rock from fossils. You can actually help uncover these fossils from the rock. You can also help in our collections with our collections manager, documenting our stuff and just making sure we know where everything is, and perhaps even getting to piece together broken pottery or various other things like that. There's always room for a volunteer within the museum. If you like graphic design and that type of stuff, you can help us with our exhibits, and our head of exhibits can use you as a volunteer. But a lot of the reason people like to volunteer for the museum is that thrill of discovery you really only get in the field. Even though the lab is where actually a lot of the science happens, and we many times won't know what we recovered from the field until it's been prepared further in the lab, it's really that being out on this incredible landscape around us and seeing some of the the sites that really make it interesting. And we're going to have a couple different field projects, both on the paleontology side, the study of fossils, as well as the archaeology side, the study of the stuff that people have left behind. That's what I do. And they're a little bit up in the air, what and where and when. It's going to depend on weather and getting our permits in place, but there's going to be a lot of great field opportunities. Our new curator of paleontology, who you've talked to, Dr. Joshua Lively, he's very interested in mosasaurs and other types of aquatic reptiles. We're currently putting one on exhibit that was collected in 2016, but he's going back out and just told me this morning he's got a new locality he just found that's got another one, and so he's going to be applying to excavate that. There's also a number of other projects all over eastern Utah, from going up into Farron Canyon to going out into the Manco Shales around here in Price, and even down into the Swell and beyond. So there's going to be plenty of paleontological opportunities. There will also be opportunities with me trying to relocate archaeological sites and documenting and sometimes collecting those artifacts.
Now, Dr. Riley, I know you've got a lot more that you wanted to share. Could you come back and hang around for another segment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Dave.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Timothy Riley of the USU Eastern Prehistoric Museum.